on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. Hard to believe, but our episodes are winding down for another year. We'll get through the month of April. We'll have a few, maybe the whole month of May. We'll see kind of how it goes, but really just a couple months left here of the YokeCast podcast, and we'll take a little time out, and the plan is to return in mid to late August, so we'll see how things play out with everything, but you know, as we're winding down, that means the athletics year is winding down, and it's hard to wrap your brain around, but when you think about it, you've got Golf Summit League Championships coming up here in just a couple of weeks. You've got track and field, who's going to compete a lot here over the next few weeks, and then they will be in the Summit League Championships and regionals and all of that good stuff, and hopefully we'll send some track athletes out to Eugene, Oregon later this year for the outdoor championships, which always Tracktown USA, Eugene, Oregon, always the goal to get to. But you look at even softball, you know, they're on the road right now. They'll be back home the 13th of April, and their season is going to go really, really quickly. Once they get home that April 13th, they're home for two of their final three series of the regular season, and then that Summit League tournament will be set up in early May, and we'll see how things play out. Hopefully softball can get things going. They had that tough series with Kansas City where they lost two one-run games. They won one of them, lost two out of three. All three games were one-run games with Kansas City. So big weekend for them this weekend at North Dakota, looking to get back on track, see if they can get some momentum here in the Summit League right now, 1-4 in league play. So things are going very quickly, and it also means some big events are coming up before you know it. Certainly the golf events for the summer are going to be right here in our backyard, so keep an eye out for all of that as we get some of those summer golf dates going. And you know, you'll have the Yankton Howling Pack deal in Yankton. You'll have the Charlie Coyote Open. They've been having one in Brandon throughout the summer, Rapid City, Beersford. So keep an eye out for all of that information on the summer golf tour, and hopefully you can join. And you know, a lot of these events, some of our coaches are able to get to and really get out and just meet people on these events. So hopefully that can be the case here again this year. So we've got all that going on. Spring football is going on right now. Before you know it, we'll be at the spring game. And then you'll put football at the back of your mind a little bit for only a few weeks, because remember, the new transfer portal window opens up in May for football, the second wave of it. So you'll hear a little bit more about football, and then you'll blink, your summer will be over, and we'll be back to fall camp. So it just all kind of goes really, really quickly, right? And you know, somebody once said it, and I don't think I ever believed him, but the older you get, the faster the days go by, the faster things tick along. So just keep powering through, and we'll see what happens with all that. Season tickets, by the way, are available for football and volleyball. Check it out at goyotes.com. There's been a lot of change with the USD Athletic Department. A lot of it really, really good change. Bringing in some obviously, when you get a new athletic director, there's going to be some key pieces that change. It's kind of like a head coach, right? And they bring in their own assistants. You bring in your own group, and you find ways that you want to build something. And one of the newest members of the athletic department at USD is Ben LeCompte, a former NDSU punter. He has joined South Dakota as the senior associate AD, chief revenue officer, and he started at USD just a couple of weeks ago, right around the Summit League basketball tournament. And this week, I had a chance to catch up with him, talk to him about his time as a punter at NDSU, getting into college athletics, and ultimately what led him to the University of South Dakota.
Ben, first of all, how has the transition been for you the last couple of weeks as you've adjusted your life to the University of South Dakota?
Yeah, it's been great. Just the people around here, the city of Vermilion, the staff here at USD has just been overly welcoming. First couple of weeks have gone fantastic. Excited to get the entire family here and up and running from that standpoint. But from a strictly work standpoint, it's been awesome. It was fun to be able to see some women's basketball live. When I got here, I didn't think I'd see any sports live other than the Summit League tournament. So it was really fun to get to see two games here and support those ladies. So yeah, but it's been great.
Do you remember everybody's name and face that you've met so far?
Faces, I've got a lot of them down. Names, there's an exhaustive list in my notes portion of my phone. It's a name, a date, and where I saw them. So you know, hopefully once the face comes back, I'll connect the dots. But working to do that as well as I can.
Before we get more into your move to South Dakota, go back a bit. You might be a little conflicted this fall because, of course, you're a former Bison punter playing for North Dakota State, and you handled the kickoffs too back in the day. How would you describe your experience there at North Dakota State and just your experience playing college football?
Yeah, absolutely. My experience at North Dakota State was unbelievable. Was really fortunate to be a part of a lot of really good football teams with a lot of really good staffs and some incredible administration that has made their way to other areas of college athletics. But I think one big piece of my time at North Dakota State is a direct result of why I'm here. I enjoy the Missouri Valley and the Summit League. I enjoy that level of competition, and I know the student athlete experience that is capable of the schools in these conferences, and I'm super passionate about it. So all being, you know, I guess NDSU is where my diploma's from. I'm super passionate about them and the league as a whole, but couldn't be more excited to be here at South Dakota. And you know, John told me during my interview, he said his brother, you know, was at UNI for a long time, and he said, you know, the only thing better than eventually one day working for your own alma mater is beating them. So this fall will be weird, but it'll be fun as well.
Did you win a national title every year that you played?
I did. Yep. Yeah. So I won a national title every year I played. But the moment I mentioned that down here, I'm quickly reminded that we got beat in the dome my senior year by USD in a Miles Bergner field goal. So that's been brought up to me quite a few times already. So all in good faith, though, of course.
I was going to ask if enough time had passed that we can talk about 2015. That was incredible for South Dakota because obviously the Kiowa football program was at a different stage than it is today, and obviously the Bison were at the top up there and a big second half for USD. But do you remember a lot about that game? I mean, obviously the year ended up great for you guys. I did look this up. You punted more times in that game than any other game that season. 7 punts in that game, which I bet you didn't think about going into it.
No, and I punted poorly too. So I do remember that. There's not a lot of games that stick out, but I do remember I punted poorly, which was just a microcosm of kind of everybody playing really poorly that day. Carson hurt his wrist. He tried to play the entire second half with what ended up being a season-ending injury, basically. But I mean, that's just kind of the competitor he was, as he wasn't going to get taken out of the game. But yeah, I mean, it was. I do remember it was like it was yesterday. I had a ton of family that had never been to a game before come to that one, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, we feel bad." It's like, no, it's college football. That's how it happens. But Miles and I got pretty close actually through kicker punter fraternity of Cole's Kicking, and he's a year younger than me, I believe, so he had another year after me. But yeah, we got pretty close, and it's something we share over this day, so it's pretty fun still. But yeah, definitely remember that day pretty vividly.
It's got to be kind of a little bit of conflicting feelings, because I think as a specialist you're always excited to see another specialist like win a game, but you don't want him to win it against you.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I you talk about it all the time. And it's just, you know, the old karma aspect of being a specialist is, you know, if nobody, no specialist, at least on that sideline, was rooting for Miles to doink that field goal by any means, because we know what type of moment that is and how, you know, that's what you practice for. Kind of like, you know, this time in March, kids doing 3-2-1 buzzer beater in their driveway. I mean, as a specialist, those are the moments you live for. So was super happy for him, especially because I knew him on a personal level. But yeah, it's still one of the really fun games to have been a part of, for sure. So
Obviously, a lot of people, when they think to North Dakota State during that time, especially our fans, the name that pops up the most is Carson Wentz, who has had a career in the NFL, kind of an injury-riddled career, but you had other guys, teammates, go on to play at the next level. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? You yourself spent some time with the Bears organization a little bit. How special was that?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, just from the years I played, from, 10 to 15, I think... 11 to 15. I think I have upwards of 10 to 15 former teammates or people that I played with in the National Football League right now, which is it's just crazy. I was closest with Carson and Joe Haig, who both had phenomenal NFL careers. But yeah, I think it's just super special to share. A group of us guys go to see you before they were kind of on the tail end of their careers, went to see a game of theirs every year. We would travel somewhere fun and do it. So just a unique bond that you get to share with your former teammates for sure.
Describe your experience getting the opportunity with the Bears and just going into kind of camp with them and trying to work out for it. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, as a Northwest Suburbs of Chicago kid, it was pretty darn fun. It was actually just a mini camp invite. So on draft day, if you will, there was a few teams that actually had expressed interest in drafting me. One of them was Tom Telesco in the at the time San Diego Chargers. And so my agent and I had said no to a few opportunities that in hindsight we probably should have said yes to. So we kind of ended up in this no man's land at about 8 p.m. that Sunday night, and it was not a fun spot to be in. So the Bears invited me to a mini camp. And I was fortunate enough to sign a contract after that mini camp to the 90-man roster and then spend the entire summer there and then, a couple weeks of the preseason, which was just incredible. I mean, the ability to play for your hometown team, to have a shot at the NFL and just do it as a professional, as your job, was something that I'll never take for granted. It was a little short-lived. I got cut early in the preseason, and then the next spring had a literally four-day cup of coffee with the Atlanta Falcons because injuries, and I was a punter, kicker, and I got, booted out the door right away. So at that point, it was kind of a decision of mine. There's 32 of these jobs in the world. Nobody carries backup kickers and punters, and I'd had my taste of it. But the taste I had was really special and something I'll always remember.
Well, you got the experience that many people dream of and many don't get the opportunity to experience. So pretty cool deal. You didn't exactly, once all that settled down, you didn't start your post-college career in athletics. But was it something that you always thought about maybe you would work your way back into?
Yeah, no doubt. So I wanted to get into athletics right away. When I got back from the Bears stint, I actually started working for Pepsi. I had to pay the bills and then stopped working for Pepsi when the Falcons called. And then after the Falcons thing was over, I was like, okay, I need a job. So I went to NDSU and talked to Matt Larson, and it was kind of a point in time where there was no really jobs open at NDSU. I wanted to get into athletics. Was a sport management business admin major, double major. And sport was the plan. There was no job, so I started working for a company called Discovery Benefits at the time. The vice president of sales, Andy Doden, and I had kind of a similar path. He had tried to be a professional golfer, Canadian Tour, web.com tour, all that stuff, and he couldn't quite get over the hump. And so we shared a commonality there, and he hired me as an entry-level sales guy in 2016, and it was just an organization that took a 22, 23-year-old kid with no sales experience and trusted him. And I did well for myself there, moved up a couple times. But then it was, January of 2022, and I just kind of had a full circle moment where I thought to myself, like, I'm most passionate about collegiate athletics. I'm passionate about student athletes. Sports revolve my life, whether it be collegiate sports, my hometown Chicago sports, what it is. So made the decision to leave WEX, which was really hard to do. Contacted a few people in the industry and found my way down to Manhattan, Kansas, where Gene Taylor took me under his wing, who's a great family friend and a mentor of mine. And basically was just like, you're a fundraiser, man. You're in development. So that's what I started doing. And thoroughly enjoyed my time in Manhattan, Kansas. If you have not been to Manhattan, Kansas in a Big 12 basketball game or Big 12 football game, I mean, it's a diamond in the rough down there. It's an unbelievably special place. And it was tough to leave, but the opportunity here kind of trumped it. So we're excited to be in Vermillion.
I'm glad you said that because I've made a couple of trips there with USD football, and we've been there for men's basketball. That was during the COVID year, so it was a Thanksgiving tournament with no fans, which I hope we get to go back, you know, when there's more fans. But every time I go down there, I swear you get treated so well. It just feels like K-State and Manhattan are like just true, honest, age work people, and I've had a great experience there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's awesome, and there's so many similarities to Manhattan and to Fargo and to Vermillion and to a lot of the towns that house our peer institutions. I mean, it's obviously Manhattan's a bigger scale a little bit than Vermillion, but it's really a, you know, small town that houses the university athletic department. And you know, if you don't have purple on or purple in your doorstep or purple in your business in Manhattan, it's kind of like, what's going on? And same thing here within Vermillion. I mean, it's red, it's USD, it's supporting the athletics program in the university, and so many similarities there as to other peer institutions. So I think that's why people assimilate so well. But yeah, Manhattan is second to none. I mean, the fans and the people down there are awesome. So
I don't know for sure the size difference between Manhattan and Fargo, but it feels like you've worked your way down in town size that you're living in.
That is exactly correct. I've gone from whatever 100,000 and some change in Fargo to about mid 50s in Manhattan to Vermillion now. So working our way down, but my wife's from Fargo, North Dakota. So working my way down in town size, but now working my way back up towards the wife's hometown. So she's appreciative of that.
You've worked in sales and fundraising, like you're basically since you got done playing football. Mm-hmm. That can be a very hard but very rewarding business.
Yeah, no doubt. It's there's some times where it can sprout a few gray hairs, but the overall goal of sales or philanthropy, which is, you know, closing a deal, landing a gift, connecting a business person with a need, or connecting a donor with a passion in philanthropy, is the reward outweighs the stress of it sometimes, if you even want to call it that. It's super awesome. I mean, it's just talking to people, getting to people to know you, like you, and trust you, connect a vision and a passion with a need, and then steward them in that way. And so that's what I'm really excited to do here. USD and Vermillion is fantastic. You know, John has a full circle awesome vision for this place and where it's got to go, and I'm just excited and really blessed to be a part of it.
Let's talk about that move to the University of South Dakota in Vermillion. What made this an attractive fit for you?
Yeah, a few things. First and foremost is the ability to grow my career. You know, I knew when I left WEX and Discovery Benefits, my route was going to be an entry-level collegiate athletics position. Although I thought my skill set and my experience in quote-unquote corporate America, if you will, could have led me to a position higher than an entry-level, you know, development position. I realized that in the athletics world of totem poles and whatnot, you've probably got to start lower. And so I fully embraced that and started at an entry-level position at K-State and quickly worked my way up. And when I saw this position at USD, I just thought of a few things. One, how passionate I am about the Summit League in the Missouri Valley, and the fact that I was able to compete in that league for 5 years as a student athlete and then just live it for another 7-8 in the town of Fargo made me just say I need to at least consider this job. Family is super, super important to me. My wife and kids are everything to me, and to be able to get them back closer to home, closer to grandma, closer to, you know, their papa, aunts and uncles, everything like that was another huge, you know, thing that played in this part. And then of course, goes without saying, the vision and the plan and the way that John views and can view the way that this institution can compete and can go. And I love that. And so all three of those things made this a big time player for me, and was fortunate enough to come out on top.
You know, anytime there's change, it can make people a little question a lot of things, I guess, a little bit. Yeah. But they start to get to know the people in place, and everybody moves forward. So how can you help move the needle at the University of South Dakota?
Yeah, absolutely. The way I'm going to move the needle here is I'm going to do everything in my power to connect, you know, like-minded people with our vision. Really, the biggest thing is there's a lot of unbelievable things in place here at the University of South Dakota. But just because there's a lot of unbelievable things in place doesn't mean there's a tremendous amount of room for growth. And so with that tremendous amount of room for growth, my goal and my plan is to find passionate people within Vermillion and within and around the United States, people who are already donors, people who may not be donors, people who are already season ticket holders, people who may not be season ticket holders to find out what they're passionate about within the University of South Dakota and within our athletics programs or within our campus, and then see if they would have the willingness and the ability to contribute to our vision and our goal, and whether that contribution would be $10 or whether that contribution would be a seven-digit number. It's all about connecting that contribution to what they're passionate about and executing it for them. So I look forward to doing that. I look forward to working with John to do that in my development staff here, and just taking this thing one day at a time and getting USD into the huge footprint and competitive area that which we know it belongs in the Summit League in the Missouri Valley.
One of the big recent announcements is the Pride of the Western Plain, which is an NIL collective, and people are still trying to wrap their brains around these whole NIL collectives. Why is now the right time for this thing to launch, and what can it do for USD Athletics?
Well, it's the right time for it to launch because I'm 99% sure we are the only institution within the Summit League that did not have a collective. So first and foremost, that's why we needed it. But second, it's because of where college athletics is going. The landscape of where we're at is a life in college athletics that has to have an NIL collective. Student athletes benefiting from name, image, likeness is the new normal. And we need to be in that ballpark. Now, it's scaled differently at this level than it is at other institutions or the institutions you see at ESPN or on the ticker or whatever it is, but we need to be a part of it, and we need to have the opportunity for our student athletes to benefit from their name, image, likeness, and there was not a better organization in our minds than Sunil Student Athlete Name, Image, Likeness to partner with to launch the Pride of the Western Plains. So the idea of the launch and when it worked was few things. John's been working on this since the moment he stepped on campus, but the next thing is the other new age thing in college athletics today, which is the transfer portal. We needed to have this collective launched and up and going for our men's and women's basketball programs because of the portal opening. Not that it's going to be a huge, huge reason for the portal, but we needed to be able to tell student athletes, prospective student athletes, current student athletes, that we have a collective, that we're playing ball, that we're in an arm's reach of making a difference. So that was kind of the reason for the timing of the launch. But it's from a standpoint of why we did it, it's because to be competitive and to make sure you're staying in the race and not falling a lap behind is you got to have one.
Yeah, I think everybody hoping that this will be the next thing that helps enhance USD athletics. Obviously, student athletes are first and foremost, and keeping them here would be great. As we look at some of these fundraising efforts, there's another big one here in a couple of weeks, Calling All Coyotes. I know it'll be your first. A lot of people have been to it and experienced it, and they understand it. But this is a big event in the spring, and I don't know if people really wrap their brains around how important this is, but this feels like a huge event every year for the athletics department.
Yeah, you can't put enough emphasis on the importance of April 19th for our athletic department. It is instrumental in what we do here, from an athletic department to the way we take care of our student athletes, scholarships, everything. It is a very, very important night for us. We are beyond grateful for everybody that comes to join us. We are super appreciative of all our sponsors and the individuals who help us put on such a great event. I can't overstress the importance of that night and how crucial it is for us to raise the single largest dollar amount we ever have, right? We're going to go set a new goal this year, and we need to. And so the event is imperative for our department.
Last thing for you, I'm just curious your thoughts. We kind of talked a little bit about NIL and the transfer portal, and obviously there's been a ton of conference realignment. What's your make of college athletics in today's world and the current state of it?
Yeah, it's unique. I'll say that the current state of college athletics is one in which nobody's really ever seen. I'd say the phrase that I use to explain it a lot to people is one thing one day and another the next. So you really just need to be nimble. You need to be flexible, you need to be fluid, and just ready to navigate whatever comes at you, which I think is fun, right? That makes this industry and that makes the people we work with every day even better, because you just got to be prepared for the next thing. And I think the good thing with it is that it gives student athletes a ton of flexibility to be able to compete, earn dollars in the right way off their name, image, likeness, and get educations, right? But there's a lot of things that maybe leave a little bit to be desired. So it's just working with your staff, your head coaches, helping everybody be on the same page to navigate the new world of college athletics. But what I'll say is I don't think it's going anywhere. The NCAA might make some changes and do some things in a way in which it changes what's going on now, but for the broad landscape of things, this NIL, this portal, this kind of stuff is here to stay. So it's really adapt and get on board or get left behind. And at USD here, we're going to adapt and get on board.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to seeing all the changes and the continued effort to enhance not only student-athlete experience, but fan experience. I know it's very important here as well. Ben, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. I know you're super busy, so Thanks for carving out the time. Appreciate you very much.
Yep, my pleasure. Thank you.
He is Ben LeCompte, the new Senior Associate Athletic Director, Chief Revenue Officer for the Athletics Department at USD. And you can tell when Ben got here, he started meeting people. He was quickly boots on the ground, and he was trying to get everything all worked out and figured out and try to meet people, and he's really hit the ground running. So excited to see where things go with the addition of Ben LeCompte, and obviously there'll be a couple other additions. There's been a lot of promotions within the athletics department as well, so keeping a lot of those people intact and just continuing to move up, and there's obviously still some positions to be filled, so we'll keep an eye out for all of that as well, but we'll see how things play out. Ben LeCompte's going to be a great addition to the USD Foundation and athletics, and really helping find ways to generate more revenue, and at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. That's where we're at in college athletics. It's where we've been. It's where we continue to be. You've got to generate revenue, right? You've got to have the expenses right now to get a lot of things in place to have success, and NIL continues to be a big thing inside the inside the walls of college athletics, and we're gonna keep having big things like that. So big events coming up. If you can support in any way, please do so. All of it helps the USD student athlete experience. It eventually helps the fan experience, all of that. It all works together. Whether you see it or not, it all works together. So please keep supporting it as best you can. And, you know, some people are able to support in bigger ways. Some people are able to support in small ways. And when you look at, you have an example for like the Calling All Kids event, right? Some people are going to be able to buy give big gifts, I should say, or buy big packages. Maybe that's not for you, but maybe you can afford the $20 raffle for a golf cart, right, that they have right now. And that's going to be given away that night as a drawing, but you don't have to be present to win. So it's like $20, put your name in the hat for a golf cart. Now think about this. You might be thinking, well, I don't golf. What do I need a golf cart for? I have nowhere to store it. I have nothing to do with it. You could turn around and sell that thing very cheap for golf cart considerations, and you do yourself good, right? Find somebody who wants to buy it from you for $3,000 or whatever it may be, and then you turn your $20 into a good chunk of change, and somebody gets that good Coyote golf cart, but you find a way to give, and if you can do that, everybody who can give just a little bit helps in the big picture for USD Athletics. Coming up over the next couple of weeks here on the Yotecast podcast, we're going to have spring football talk as well as we lead up to the spring game on April 20th. So keep an eye out, an ear out, I should say. You're listening, an ear out for all of that. And we'll do the best we can. If you've got any storylines or student athletes you'd love to hear from, let us know. And we would love to reach out to some of those student athletes and people and just kind of get their stories and share them with you right here on the Yotecast podcast. All right, that's it for me. Well, before we go, I should take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. We do that every single week, and I almost almost left you high and dry on that deal. So let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. It's a Thursday afternoon tennis matchup in Omaha, Nebraska, as the Coyote tennis team will take on Creighton in non-conference play. Then Friday, it's the USD Early Bird. Friday and Saturday, track and field is set to host that. 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. It starts at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. Also available on the Summit League Network, which is on the Midco Sports Plus app. Tennis will then head to Tulsa, Oklahoma. They'll play against Oral Roberts on Saturday afternoon in Summit League play. Coyotes entered this two-match road trip, having won 5 consecutive matches. Softball is in Grand Forks on Saturday. They'll take on North Dakota. The game one of the doubleheader is scheduled to start at 1 o'clock. They'll wrap up that series on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Grand Forks. Women's soccer is scheduled to play at Drake in Des Moines on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And then you get women's golf at Stampede at the Creek, which gets underway Monday and Tuesday in Omaha, Nebraska, and then softball scheduled to play at Creighton in non-conference play next Tuesday as well, so keep an eye out for all of that. Now, remember, I'll tell you this every week for the rest of our time together here on the Yotecast podcast, these are outdoor sports, which always means they are subject to weather changes. So, keep an eye out for GoYotes.com for all the updated schedule information, reschedules, results, stories, all of it is available for you at GoYotes.com. All right, that's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.